for the rest of us, would you turn with me to Psalm number 95, the 95th Psalm. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. It's our text for today. In light of Thanksgiving, what the Lord put on my heart is to bring a message today on worship. You know, if we're truly thankful to God for all that He does for us, all that He has done for us, that should compel us to worship Him. Beginning to read Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for who You are. And we just pray that this morning, Lord, Your Spirit will abound in the midst of this message. That, Lord, You'll put a watch on my mouth that I'll only speak the words You've ordained for this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all that You be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a good football coach puts his players through physical exercises and disciplines necessary for developing the skills and physical stamina that will make it possible for them to be a winning team. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, there are certain disciplines that we must subject ourselves to if we are truly going to be all that God intends. Our text details one discipline necessary for experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came to give into the world. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." I want to pause there for a moment. This verse really exposes the division between darkness and light. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. It's all the enemy is about. We have a tendency, myself included, all too often, to get too focused on the negative things in life. And when we get focused on the negative things, where does the praise go? Right out the window. When we are focused on negative things in life all the time, then we don't find ourselves praising God. So when we focus, for example, on the first part of this verse that says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've had this and this and this stolen from me. I've had this and this and this happen to me. And I just can't even hardly get out of bed anymore. Because we get focused on all of the negative things, the things out of darkness, the things that come by Satan. He's the thief. If we would just learn to focus on the second half with thanksgiving, where Jesus said, I have come, that they may have life and have it to the full. And give thanks for that. Remember, faith is the substance of things unseen. So we need to exercise our faith and praise God even when we don't feel like it. You know, sometimes we don't feel like praising God. Maybe we're down because things have been going pretty lousy. But, you know, we've always got one anchor that is anchored into the Holy of Holies, and that is Jesus Christ. And when we will call out to Him, cry out to Him, out of our despair or out of our grief, whatever it is that's got us down, when you bring Jesus into any situation, it changes the whole atmosphere. So the invitation to worship that the psalmist extends is both present and perpetual in its application. To worship is to ascribe praise and honor and glory to God. It is to serve and honor Him with heart and soul. Genuine worship is a dynamic, transforming experience both for the individual worshiper and for the congregation as they worship together in spirit and in truth. Worship is a personal encounter with God as He reveals Himself to us through scripture, song, sermon, and the praises of God's people. We are called to recognize and respond to the psalmist's gracious invitation. First major point. The call to worship is a call to recognize and respond to the presence of God. Worship is not for us. Too many people in the body of Christ, in the years that I've been paying attention since I came to Jesus, it's been 42 years ago already, in those 42 years, I've been in a lot of different places, a few different countries. I've experienced worship in several different countries in Africa. I've experienced worship down in Costa Rica twice. I've been in some different cultures. I'm just here to tell you, true worship has nothing to do with the people and everything to do with God. The different nations in Africa with the different dialects, I didn't know what they were saying. But I'll tell you one thing, I recognized the presence of God when the presence of God fell as a result of people reaching out to Him and worshiping. And the tears began to stream down my face. Same way in Costa Rica. I don't understand Spanish. But when the worship went forth and the presence of God fell, same thing. See, I got this little problem. When the Spirit of God falls on me, I recognize again how big God is and how small I am in retrospect. And for whatever reason, it makes my eyes leak. It just does. It's just something that happens. But we've got to get back to worshiping God in spirit and truth means worshiping Him, and it don't have anything to do with us. It don't matter how we feel. We got to quit depending on our feelings. Oh, boy, was that a great worship service. The worship was awesome. I got so blessed. Really? Good. That's good. But did God get blessed? Did we bless God? Because, see, that's the most important thing. We call it worshiping God, but all too often we're too focused on self. Well, man, gosh, worship wasn't very good today. I didn't really get moved at all. Okay. Did God get moved? That's especially a problem in charismatic or Pentecostal services. Somebody know what I'm talking about? You know, the ones where you go in and people are saying, "Whoa, did you feel that?" Well, I don't know if I felt bad, but I know I want God to be praised. Because He's the one that's worthy. This is a call to conscious awareness of the presence of God. See, we should expect God's presence to fall whenever we are worshiping Him in spirit and truth. You know, God, I don't think, has a preference for music. I don't believe God has a preference in music. The difference is how the people are moved. And when the people are moved, then they open their hearts to God. Am I making sense to somebody? I'm trying really hard to make this make sense. Because we're called to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then He promises that He inhabits the praises of His people. He promises us that. So then, if we know Scripture, we know that Scripture, then we should just expect when we're worshiping God in spirit and in truth, we're going to experience the presence of God. Now, are there different measures of that? Yes, there are. I could name a handful of times when the tangible presence of God was so strong. I shared Wednesday night about that with the group that was here Wednesday night about that. One of the experiences that I had when a very significant, rare outpouring of God fell. So there are differences in the manifestation of the presence of God through different services and meetings and whatnot. But the bottom line is, no matter what, if we're truly worshiping Him, there He is in the midst of us. Right? So this is a call to awe, admiration, and adoration of the living God. Are you in awe of God? I am. Ever since the first night I met Him. It was at night when I gave my life to Christ. It was later in the evening, I think near, if I remember correctly, it was getting close to 10 o'clock at night. When I prayed the prayer with my mouth, but it came from my heart, and I started a relationship with Jesus, I was immediately in awe. Because God immediately started speaking to me. The revelation that came through the Spirit of God made me totally admire God. I didn't know Him in that way. I only knew about Him and didn't know if I believed that before I truly got saved. Does anybody know what were you there? I just wasn't sure what I thought about God before I truly met Him. This is a call to truly become acquainted with the living God. In worship, we become acquainted with Him. Now that acquaintance hopefully grows from there. Right? Gotta move on. Second major point. The call to worship is a call to recognize and respond to the person of God. Our God is a personal God, and we are to respond to Him personally. This living God is described in the first six verses of Psalm 95, our text. Let's pick that apart a little bit. First of all, in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is the rock of our salvation." It's Speaking of him being the rock of our salvation, what that tells us is he is the foundation of it. Everlasting. He's the foundation of our salvation. In verse 3, it says, the Lord is a great God. We just sung, great God. Pouring our hearts out to God. Why? Because he's a great God. We've gotten a revelation. He truly is a great God. He's not just God. He's not a God that rules with an iron fist and lightning bolts in the other hand and waiting for us to step off the line and strike us with a lightning bolt. He's not that God. He's not that kind of God. He's a great God. Verse 3 also says, this great God is a great king above all gods. We are living in a season spiritually that is a very unique season right now. We are in the end times, guys. How long that goes, I don't know. Anybody who says they do, run, because they're a heretic. We don't know. But he is the king above all gods. Satan is unleashing everything he can in this world. He's unleashed everything he can on this nation. Why? Because he's so full of deception that he still thinks he can win. That's a laugh. Why am I laughing? Because Satan is not the great God, and our God is the great God. And he is worthy of praise. Satan tries to steal the praise. Doesn't he? He's been trying to steal the praise ever since he beguiled a third of the angels, the heavenly host. He's been trying to steal the praise ever since that. But our God is a great God. He is a great king above all gods. In verse 4, it says, this God is in control of the heights and also the depths of the earth. He's in control of all of it. He created it. The heights and the depths. Verse 5, it says, this God owns both the sea and the dry land because he is their creator. He owns it all. The sea and the dry land. He created them both for his pleasure. Verse 6 says, this great God is also our maker. God spoke everything else. The whole universe, he spoke everything into being. But when it came to us, he fashioned us and knit us together. It says in Scripture that we're knit together in the womb. He is there. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, we have God's fingerprints on us, I think. Because we are the only thing that he fashioned with his own hands. Everything else, he said it and it was. He said it and it was. He said it and he was. But he took more personal care with us because we were going to be the apple of his eye. Now that kind of God is worthy of all of the praise we could ever muster in these old days. This great God is personal. and he is worthy of our awe, reverence, respect, and adoration. Third major point, the call to worship is a call to recognize and receive from this personal God. We've got to learn to recognize him and learn to receive from him. I've said this before. Our active faith in God is the hands that receives from him. God's got everything that we could ever need or want. If we will just worship him, praise him, be thankful, and our faith is the hands that reaches out to receive what he has for us. Beginning with salvation. Salvation is the most important as far as I'm concerned. You know, a lot of people have got a lot of stuff, but they're lost. So in my mind, our salvation is a lot more important than all the stuff.
Amen.
Just the way it is. When God comes to meet with us, he comes to reveal himself to us and give himself to us. God reveals himself in ways that meet the deepest needs of a genuine worshiper. We have probably our greatest needs as human beings. Our greatest needs, whether we want to admit it or not, are emotional. We get wounded, broken relationships, the death of a loved one, whatever it is. We carry emotional baggage around. And he'll take that off us. He meets the deepest needs of a genuine worshiper. Worshippers learn something about themselves when they truly worship. Now, I said when God falls on me very heavily, the anointing falls on me very heavily. You've seen me many times. If you've been around here a while, when that happens, when I'm preaching and I'm back and forth on the stage preaching with tears running down my face. Because again, I realize how small I am in retrospect. And how big God is. And it just makes you just be in awe. What an awesome God we have. People discover that they are more than lost orphans in an empty world. They discover that God loves them and that God is for them and not against them. So genuine worship gives a vision of God, a vision of self, and a vision of others. When we're truly worshiping God, it gives us a clear vision of God, of who he is. I'm not saying you're all of a sudden you're going to see him in his glory. It would strike us dead, because his glory is that powerful. So I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when we worship him, he reveals himself to us. Gives us a vision of self. How small we are. And in the physical, pretty insignificant. But in Christ, we're not insignificant. We're important to God. He loves us. He sent his son to die for us. And a vision of others. You know, let's be honest. When we look at other people, and it's not through the eyes of Christ because of God living in us by the power of the Spirit. When we look at other people, it's pretty easy to be pretty judgmental. Isn't that right? People can get catty. Let me give a couple examples. Did you see Myrtle's shoes today? They didn't match her purse at all. You can't wear those shoes with that purse. It's sacrilege. How quickly we can be catty. I'm not going to leave the guys alone. I'm going to pick on someone. Did you see the rims that he put on that truck? What was he thinking? Come on, guys, help me a little bit. Help me preach a little. You can't do that. You can't put them wheels on that truck. Let me be honest with you. I've said that recently. I absolutely hate it when guys are putting these wheels on these trucks that have got the wrong offset and they're sticking way out past the wheel wells. Can I get a witness for it? Somebody help me. It rides hurt on me. But you know what? At the end of the day, that person's happy with what they got and they don't care what I think. And ultimately, that's not what's important. What's important is our God.
And her shoes were comfortable.
And her shoes were comfortable. There it is. Thank you. You got some help. True worshipers also learn something about the resources of God that are available for life. God does not come to oppress us or to defeat us. He comes to impart His gifts to us. Beginning again, always beginning with the gift of salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. That's a foundational truth in the Christian faith. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of that. We are saved by grace through faith. Remember, the hands of faith reach to take the gift. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. Everything we need is available in Christ Jesus. I can't even tell you how many times over the years when I've been witnessing to people, there's been countless people that have said to me, "Oh, I tried Christianity. I tried that praying. God never did nothing for me." Well, my first question is, have you given your life to Christ? Are you a born-again believer? Or did you just try praying? Because, see, God's not under any obligation to answer anybody's prayer that don't want to know Him. Remember, "Away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you." Oh, but we did this and we did that, and boy, we were witnessing machines, and we did this. And Jesus said, "Oh, I'm going to tell them. Oh, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. You never worshipped me. You never knew me. You tried asking me for things just in case, but you were mad because you didn't get them, but you didn't get them because you're not in Christ. You don't belong to me." Does that make sense? Worship is powerful, guys. Worship is one of our most potent things. avenues of spiritual warfare. When God said that He inhabits the praises of His people, that should tell us something about that. God is phos in the Greek, light. God is phos in the Greek. In our language, it's light. The light always dispels darkness. When we worship God and His presence, His light captivates wherever we're at. Satan can't have any dominion there. Are you listening? In conclusion, in the English language, the word worship means worth-ship. It means worth-ship. Okay? So it means the recognition of the one who is of supreme worth. That's our God. God has revealed Himself and His purposes for us in Jesus Christ. We can trust the God who loves us so much. He is willing to give up His Son for us. Romans 8, verse 32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? And we should indeed be thankful for all of that. Amen?
Amen.
So now, we've had this message. This should make this our most special Thanksgiving Day ever this week. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Father, I thank You so much for giving of Your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, for You being willing to go to the cross and go through all that horrific stuff to redeem us, Lord God. We didn't deserve it, but You did it. And we praise You and glorify You. Lord, we come to You with thanksgiving. We pray Your blessing over this holiday, this week, in this nation. We pray, Lord, that there would be a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit, that we would see revival that brings renewal in the hearts of the people in this nation, Lord God, that the hearts will be turned back to You. Lord, we're praying for a reformation in this land, Lord God. And we give You all the honor, glory, and praise for it. Pray, Lord, that You bring us back safely and healthy next weekend to hear from You again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. We love you.